We are continuing our doctrinal series study, and today's topic is rapture. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verses 13 to 18. The heading in my Bible is The Comfort of Christ's Coming. Starting on 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. May the Lord add his blessing in the precious word. These were the words of comfort and assurance from Apostle Paul to the believers in Thessalonica. The believers were expecting Christ's return at any time, but they had a question regarding their loved ones who died after trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thessalonica was a pagan city, and we should understand that these believers were redeemed from this pagan world. And as we read in verse 13, they had no hope in life after death. There was an inscription in the main gate of the city of Thessalonica. It says, after death, no reviving. After the grave, no meeting again. Once a man is dead, he is dead forever. The people of Thessalonica believed that when a man died, that is the end. He was dead forever. But Apostle Paul changed their thinking and their lifestyle by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel gave them the precious hope after death. If you turn one page in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, starting in the middle of verse 9, we read there, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. From this verse, we know that Paul taught the believers in Thessalonica the truth of Christ's return for them. Paul writes this portion to answer the question regarding their dear ones who had died in Christ. The next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the saints. What a day that will be. When Christ comes back in the clouds, when all the children of God brought together in the air to meet him. The word rapture you may not find in the English Bible. But the idea is all through the Bible. The word used for rapture in Greek is harpazo, which means to be snatched away or to be caught up. That is what we read in verse 17 here on chapter 4. To be caught up or take up with force. When the New Testament was translated into Latin, the word, the translators used the word raptus for the Greek word harpazo, from which we get the English word rapture. The same Greek word for caught up used in this portion is used also in Acts chapter 8 verse 39 to describe Philip is being caught away after baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. We read there, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. That shows the power that will remove the believers from this earth at the time of rapture. The rapture has been the topic of controversy in the church for many years, even now. Prior to the 20th century, many church leaders and theologians like John Calvin and Martin Luther believed that the rapture would take place at the end of the tribulation period. That is called post-tribulation rapture. The tribulation period is mentioned a number of places in the Bible as a time of Jacob's trouble, which will occur on the earth for a period of 7 years. We can read about this in the book of Daniel chapter 12, Matthew chapter 24, and Revelation chapter 7 onwards. But after the year of 1830, and during the time of James Darby, who is the founder of the Plymouth Brethren, the theory of rapture changed into pre-tribulation rapture. That is, all born-again believers would be raptured prior to the beginning of the Great Tribulation. At present, most of the Christians and theologians believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. With that bit of history in mind, we can look briefly at the three most widely held views of when the rapture will occur. First, the pre-tribulation rapture. As I mentioned, this is the theory that most Christians believe today. The born-again believers will be raptured prior to the 7 years of tribulation. Many of you might have read the Christian fiction books and seen the movies based on the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye. Those books are based on the pre-tribulation theory. Second, the mid-tribulation rapture. Those who believe in the mid-tribulation rapture believe that the church will be taken out somewhere near the middle of the Great Tribulation period of 7 years. The Great Tribulation refers mainly to the second half of the tribulation period, when things will be most intense for the people in this earth. They believe that Christian will go through the first half of the tribulation period and then raptured out just before the worst period, that is last part of tribulation period. And third, the post-tribulation rapture theory. This theory refers to the church being raptured only at the end of 7 years of tribulation. I have no time to go through all this and the verses supporting to each theory. Some groups may say even, does it really matter when the rapture occurs? The answer is yes. Because if we believe that rapture will occur at any time, that will change the way we live in this world. But if you believe that Jesus will come at the middle or the end of tribulation period, we may need to store up things required to last the 7 years of tribulation, isn't it? Like food, medicine, gold or money, or even arms. And we'll be looking forward for the Antichrist to come into the scene. But if we believe the rapture can take place at any moment, we are going to live with anticipation, watching and praying, looking for his coming. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40, "Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left behind. Two women will be in the grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left behind." This shows a sudden removal of believers from the earth, while unbelievers are left on this earth to face the tribulation. Regardless of when the rapture will occur, the fact that Jesus Christ will come for his saints is an absolute and undeniable truth in the Bible. Please turn to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we read the words of angel to the disciples when Christ ascended back to heaven. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." That's the testimony of the angel. Now let's look one more verse in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 3. We read the words of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 14, verse 3. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also." So, the return of Christ for his saints is an undeniable truth in the Bible. We saw first the testimony of the angel, second, the words of Jesus Christ, and third, the words of Apostle Paul, which we read now, and a number of other places in the epistles we can read about it. Now, let me come back and look in detail the scripture portion we read in the beginning, that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. So please turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 13. Paul states, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." One of the important facts of the Christian faith is we have a wonderful hope. After this life, there is going to be eternal life, and we will be in the presence of God with our loved ones who died in Christ and gone before us. In verse 14, we read the reason for that hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." In other words, Paul says here that the truth concerning the coming of Christ for his saints is certain as the central doctrine of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. unless we believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have no hope in Christ's return. If there is anyone here, not accepted the Lord as their personal Savior, the place to start is at the cross. It is on the cross where Christ died for our sins. It is there we learn that we had a substitute. The one who is able to save us, the one who provided a sufficient and perfect sacrifice for our sins. We have to come to the cross first. If we believe that Christ died for our sins and rose again on the third day from the dead, then we have a basis for hope. Many Christians in this world not consider seriously the return of Jesus Christ. Many churches do not even preach the gospel, the sacrificial death of Christ and his resurrection. So they are not in a position to preach the return of the Lord also. If we are born again and put our trust in him, then we will have a real desire to see our Savior. And his second coming will be exciting and precious to us. Do we really love the Lord's return? Does it mean anything to us that Christ may come back today? If we love him who first loved us, then the truth of the Lord's return will be precious to each one of us. In verse 14 we read, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Please look at the verses 13 and 15 where we read the phrase, "those who sleep, those who are asleep." And verse 14 we read the phrase, "those who sleep in Jesus." What does sleep mean? Sleep in the New Testament is an expression for death, which for Christian is very much like a sleep. We understand from the scripture that it refers to the bodies which are laid in the grave. As far as our souls are concerned, we are immediately go into heaven to the very presence of God. We read in the scripture, to be absent from the body is to present with the Lord. Jesus made the same promise to the thief on the cross. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Meanwhile, the body is buried here, awaiting the day of resurrection. Those whose bodies are sleeping in the grave, according to the scripture, will be resurrected when Christ comes back. As we read in verse 14, God will bring with Jesus Christ, those who have fallen asleep in him. That means there will be a literal resurrection of the bodies of believers who died in Christ. In verse 15 and 16, Paul answers the main question of the believers in Thessalonica. As I mentioned earlier, Paul taught the believers the truth of Christ's return. In chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says, "You yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." So the believers knew well about Christ's return. Their question was, what is going to happen to their loved ones who already died? We should remember that even at that time, the believers believed Christ can come at any moment. In verse 15 and 16, Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The question was, when will be the dead in Christ will be raised? And the answer is in verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. In verse 17 we read, then who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This passage teaches that when Christ comes back, he will come back in the clouds, in the air. When that occurs, as we saw in verse 16, the Christians or believers whose bodies have been in the grave or who are dead in Christ will be resurrected first, and their bodies will be transformed into a resurrection bodies, and they will meet the Lord in the air first. As of this will take place in a split second before the living Christians or the church at present in the world will be transformed into incorruptible bodies. Just as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches about the translation of the dead in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 teaches concerning the translation of the living saints. Brother Butch Rucker this morning read that portion. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading from verses 51. We read there, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This passage is talking about the saints living on this earth. So these verses clearly show that those who are alive will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and will be given an immortal, incorruptible bodies. This passage also teaches the order of the resurrection of Christians. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first from the grave, then the living or the church on this earth will be changed or transformed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The scripture also makes it very clear that when Christ comes back for his own, he will take them home or take them to heaven, where he has gone now to prepare a place in his Father's house. If you can turn to John chapter 14, Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Gospel of John, verse 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also. So Jesus says here, he is going to his Father's house to prepare a place that is in heaven. Then Jesus said, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we read that, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'll read that verse again. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of the Lord, trumpet of the God, and the dead in Christ will rise. This word for shout is a word of a command. It is like the shout of a military leader or military officer giving a command to march. When Christ comes back, he will give a shout of command. In Gospel of John, chapter 11, we read the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. When Christ went to the tomb and commanded, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came forth. Such was his authority and power of his word. Christians will be resurrected with a body like the resurrection body of Christ, which will be never be subject to death or disease or pain. A body which will last for all eternity with the Lord, like a resurrection body of Christ. Second, there is the voice of the archangel. The Bible does not explain why the archangel should be included there, but we read in the scriptures that there is a great battle going on, a battle which began in the Garden of Eden and perhaps before. The battle is against the forces of Satan and his forces. This is why Paul reminds us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. The only mention of the archangel in the Bible is in this portion and in Jude verse 9, where the archangel is mentioned as Michael. In Jude we read there, devil fought with the archangel over the body of Moses. Some Bible scholars think that devil may put a bigger fight when Jesus comes back to gather his saints from this world. They think that Satan will try to stop the resurrection of every saint from the grave. The archangel who defeated the devil earlier in the case of Moses will defeat him again with his powerful voice, and all the dead in Christ will rise. The voice of the archangel is a voice of victory. It is a great victory for the angels when Christ comes back for his church. The archangel rejoices in the great victory over the forces of Satan in the resurrection of saints from the dead. Third, another expression is the trumpet of God. There are many trumpets mentioned in the scripture. There were trumpets in the Old Testament at the beginning of each month. There was the Feast of Trumpets mentioned. The trumpet is a sign of assembly or a sign of going forward in the Bible. The sounding of the trumpet is like the trumpet of an army. It is the call to march forward. So in this passage we read that The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. So this is a picture for us as a grand event. The coming of Christ for his church and the translation of the believers living and the dead from the earth to heaven. We read then, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It will be a wonderful event for those who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great moment that will be. All God's children from all centuries, from every nation, tongue, and kindred together, at last with him. In verse 16 we read, dead in Christ. Who are the dead in Christ? The dead in Christ are those who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior while they were alive and have died a physical death. In other words, the bodies of those believers have been laid in the grave and their spirits have gone to heaven. This expression, in Christ, occurs about 40 times in the New Testament. And in most cases, it refers to our position in Christ. When a person receives Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and trusts in him as one who died for him on the cross, God saves his soul. At the very moment God saves us, we are placed in Christ and we become a part of the universal church of Jesus Christ. This occurs the instant we really trust in Jesus Christ. Every genuine Christian is in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches that the dead in Christ will be raised first when Christ comes back. So in verse 18, Apostle Paul says, comfort one another with these words, and or encourage one another with this thought of Christ coming back. The Thessalonian believers were having a difficult time of persecution, and this glorious hope of the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of their loved ones gave them great comfort and encouragement. This is a precious truth of the Lord's return for believers. Are we ready for his return? As believers, we should be watching and waiting for his return. Christ would come any moment, and according to the scriptures, there are no other prophecies to be fulfilled before his return. When is it going to happen? No one can answer that question. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said to his disciples, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We are reminded repeatedly in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, to be watchful for the Lord's coming. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven. The Old Testament examples speak to us, the church will be removed from the world before the Great Tribulation. For example, God did not destroy Sodom until the Lot was taken out from that city. He did not send the flood until the Noah and his family were safe in the ark. So we can reasonably believe from the word of God that the church will be taken out before the tribulation. Let me close with a verse from Titus chapter 2, where Apostle Paul reminded Titus about the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking forward the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deeds and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We should live in this world each day expecting his return at any time. Jesus Christ first came to this world as a Lamb of God to give his life as a ransom for many and to redeem the sinners. As we saw in John chapter 14, Jesus is clearly referring to his coming again to take his believers or his saints into heaven, which is the rapture we are waiting for, when Jesus comes back in the clouds to meet the church in the air and take them to heaven. But he will come again after the tribulation period as a lion, as a king with his saints to establish his kingdom on this earth. If there is anyone here not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, let me remind them a verse from Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, we read, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It's a solemn verse. And the most important decision you can take today is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May the Lord bless his words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open thy word and to learn from the second coming of the rapture of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. What a hope we have that our Lord is coming soon to receive us. Our pain, our difficulties, our sorrows, everything will be over, and we'll meet with our Lord in the air. What a day that will be. Father, we pray that help us to live in this world, watching and waiting for your coming, to lead a life which is pleasing in thy sight. Now disperse us with thy blessing, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.